you follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, said, will you lay down your life for me, for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Chapter 14, verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for this conversation that you had with your followers in that day that led to the teaching and to the revelation that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Lord, I pray that you may strengthen our hearts, Lord. I pray that as we study these things, oh Lord, that we may gain wisdom and insight into your truth, into your way, and into your life, oh God, that we may get insight about you. So Jesus, teach us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the sixth I am statement. If you've been following our study through the book of John, remember the first one? I am the bread of life, John 6, 35. I am the light of the world, John 8, 12. I am the door, the entrance to heaven, John 10, 9. I am the good shepherd, John 10, 11. I am the resurrection and the life, and today I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these statements tell us of who Jesus is. If we have questions about who Jesus is, these statements help us understand who he is. He satisfies us. He's the one who allows us into heaven as the door. He's the one who lights up our understanding in this world. He's the one who shepherds us in a very good way. He's the resurrection and the life. We will rise again and we have eternal life through him. And as Jesus was winding up his ministry, he has just about a day to go on the cross. He has his last conversation with his closest followers. And in this text, they were wondering, where are you going? They just received a new commandment, not that was new, it was fresh. And God was just reminding them, you need to love one another. And they were talking back and asking questions, Lord, where are you going? He told them, I have told you from the beginning where I'm going. What do you mean? Where is the Father? It's like they've never understood anything for 3 years. But Jesus is patient to explain to them everything they needed to hear before he leaves, before he goes to the cross, resurrects, and then ascends. And he tells them that I am on my way out. I'm going. I'm signing out. I'm leaving. And the first thing he tells them, after predicting Peter's denial, he said, let your heart not be troubled. Why would Jesus say that? Because these men are going to face tough times ahead. And we know it through the book of Acts. There's going to be persecution. They're going to be lonely. Jesus himself was going to be arrested right before them. He's going to be tried and killed. They're going to be in fear. They're going to be faced with so much opposition, so much deception, so much discouragement. They're actually going to die for the Lord. And that would have been enough to make them really troubled. Really troubled. I mean, we get troubled just missing people we've known for days. We wonder if we'll ever meet again, whether we'll ever share the good times that we shared in the past again. A lot of things trouble us. Economics and politics. The politicians are troubled in this season, you know that, right? Are scratching their heads and finding ways to make it back to parliament and to become president. The dollar rate is up. Everything in this world troubles us. And Jesus tells them, don't worry. I am going to prepare a good place for you. This world is going to crumble. And there's no way I can leave you in this planet. I'm obviously going to take you out. A place of perfection. Where there's no troubles. And if and when you are tempted to worry, to be anxious, to be stressed, to be depressed, just look to me. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The answer to all the troubles in our hearts is faith in Jesus Christ. Persecution, financial crisis, fear, discouragement, even death. Jesus has a solution for all that. It's faith in him. We go to him and he takes all those worries away, all those concerns away, all those anxieties away. And he tells them why and how. How was Jesus going to take their troubles away? He's preparing for them a house in heaven. Now, I assume and I presume these men were following Jesus Christ every day. And that basically means they had nowhere to live. All they had to do is spend the night with Jesus Christ in the mountains and in the forest and in across the seas and everywhere he went. So first of all, the earthly homes didn't make any sense to them. So Jesus tells them, I'm going to prepare a place, a better place for you. Don't worry about being homeless. In John chapter 16, verse 33, later on in his teaching before he dies, John chapter 16, verse 33, told them, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, many troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can read that verse over and over again, and each time our hearts get troubled, we can go back to that verse to draw encouragement and strength. He says, in who? In me, not in economics, not in politicians, not in anything. Because these troubles tend to cause us to put our hope in something or someone. And he tells them, that someone is me, and I will give you peace. And Jesus is speaking to each one of us. Because we will go through so many troubles in this world. And he says, in me, you will find peace. He's not going to necessarily take away all the troubles. They're almost increasing. But he says, I'm going to give you peace through those troubles. In my Father's house, verse 2, are many mansions, many dwelling places, many houses. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. But now it's true, I am going to prepare that place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. Ultimately, the reason we should not be troubled by everything around us is we are going to a better place. It's good that Jesus gives us peace through the troubles of this world. It is way better that at one point, he's going to take us to a far better place. It's heaven, where he lives, and he says, I'm going to pick you up. Are you looking forward to the return of our Lord? He's coming to pick us up. I'm preparing a place for you, and where I go, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, now this is curious Thomas. This is not doubting Thomas. He's saying, Lord, please clarify this, all right? We don't even know where you're going. We thought you're going to conquer the Romans and be on the throne. And now you're telling us that we even know the way. How can we not know where you're going and think we know the way? Don't you appreciate Thomas's question? Because after his concern comes so much clarity about who Jesus is to them and to us and to everyone. I am that way. I am that truth. I am that life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Those are powerful statements, by the way. Very precise. It wasn't a long thesis of a research paper presented to these men, and that would have left them scratching their heads figuring out what Jesus was saying. He makes it very precise and very clear and very short. I am the way to heaven. I am the truth about everything. And I am the source and giver of all life. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus told his listeners, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We may be wondering, how come Jesus can say those very exclusive statements? We heard that he's the door. He opens the door to heaven. So how do we get there? Through him. He's the same door, just as he is the way there. And so many have problems accepting this. How can Jesus say it's the only way, the only truth, and the only life? How about all the other religions? Right? How about the Hindus and the Muslims and the Buddhists and the pagans and the atheists? None of those religions ever say that they are the way, the truth, and the life. They just claim to be. There's no validity whatsoever. I mean, think about the fact that Jesus mentioned those statements exclusive to himself. How was he going to be the only way to heaven? The only highway, the only journey to heaven. He's going on the cross, all right? But before the cross just didn't happen. Way back from Genesis 3:15, there was a promise of a seed of a woman who would crush the serpent that deceived Eve and Adam. All right? There was a seed of Abraham who would be a blessing to all nations. There was going to be a branch from the stem of Jesse through the lineage of David who is going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And who is that? It's Jesus Christ. And if there is somebody who ever questions the authority of the Word of God and the statements of Jesus here, you point them back from Genesis. That's where it began. Fallen man had to be redeemed, and it had to be God himself. Some may claim, well, all religions lead to heaven. No. In fact, every religion claims to be the only way to heaven. So we cannot even distort the exclusivity of such religions. But much as many may claim to be the highway to heaven, they all fall short. You ask all the other people who claim they know the way to heaven apart from Jesus Christ, how? Are you going to ride there? Are you going to drive there? Are you going to take a train there? Are you going to take a flight there? How? Prophecy validates the truth and the facts that Jesus makes of himself here. And not just prophecy, the fulfillment of prophecy. those statements are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, there are over 300 prophecies about Jesus Christ. I mean, how can we even deny it? How can we even question the fact that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? Jesus makes that strong, that profound, that statement that makes so many uncomfortable and angry, that statement that makes Christians and themselves names, right? They call us narrow-minded. Well, Jesus says the way is actually narrow. This statement causes Christians to be called intolerant and hateful. I mean, what is wrong with somebody saying he's the only way to heaven and is going to bridge heaven and earth by the cross? He actually demonstrates the fact that he connects heaven and earth through his blood. He's the Passover lamb that will be sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins. And we can go on and on and on to affirm and to strengthen our faith in Jesus, saying he's the only way. Truth is, he is. He is the truth, he says. And somebody said, in defining truth, it's conformity to fact and established reality in the past, present, or future. Right? Conforming to the reality, the fact that we are sitting here, we're sitting on those chairs, and any other reality in the past, present, and future, history, present, and everything that hasn't happened yet. And why would Jesus say that is the truth? What is the opposite of truth? Lies. What caused Adam and Eve to sin? A lie. Alright? And we, just like them, get bombarded with lies. And there's so many warnings. So many warnings about deception in this world, increasing deception in this world. And Jesus wants to help us understand what reality is, what the facts are that are established from past, from the past, in the present, right now, and in the future, and they don't alter. All right? We just grow to discover gravity. It has always been there. Right? We just grow to discover medicines and chemicals and nuclear technology and blah, 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 blah. They have always been there. I mean, God made all those things. We just kind of develop them with the minds that God himself had given us. And sometimes this earthly wisdom causes us to worship the what? The creature more than the creator. How foolish. How foolish to worship knowledge, to worship computers, to worship cars and everything else around us, mountains and dogs and cows. In Isaiah, I think, 44, God portrayed to the Jews how foolish they are being. He said, you go to the bush, you go to the woods, you go to Mabira forest, you cut down a tree, half of it you use to bake bread, and half of it you bow down to worship. How foolish. It's just the same piece of wood that helped you make your meal. It's a lie. Not to know that Jesus is the way to heaven. It's a big lie. In fact, in Romans 1:18, the Bible says, we suppress the truth. In Acts chapter 20, verse 30, we distort the truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, we exchanged the truth of God for a lie. In Romans chapter 2:8, we eventually reject the truth. And that causes us to do what? To run away from the only way to heaven. Isn't that happening now? Let's look at a few ways that God himself ordained as the truth that he established, as the order that he established. Look at creation, for example. All right? People still call creation a theory. Right? Just a possibility. It's possible that God made all this stuff. They call it a theory, the creation theory. It's a fact. There's no way you can explain the existence of this planet and everything unless somebody made it. Right? There's no way you can come and look at this building and think, wow, this building, it just sprang out by itself. Seriously? Somebody built it. What is the lie to creation? Evolution. We came from nothing after billions and billions and billions of years. What a lie. I mean, can anything come out of nothing? Think about it. Can anything come out of nothing? No way. Family. God instituted family in the Garden of Eden. What's the attack on family today? From being one man, one woman, children, to men and men and women and women. What a lie. Obedience. The first command to Adam, don't. All right? God required obedience from Adam. What happened? Disobedience. After a lie. God teaches us to love every day. What's the opposite of lie? Of love? Hate. Unity. How beautiful it is for Christians, brothers and sisters, to gather together in unity. What's the lie? Division. It's unity. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is required in every relationship. Friendships. Marriage. Business partnerships. What's the lie? Unfaithfulness. When you sin, repent. God will forgive you. What's the lie? Just deny. Right? Just blame somebody else for your sinfulness. Blame the woman that God gave you. Blame the serpent. Don't take responsibility for your own actions. You go sue somebody for that fault. You pour tea on yourself at a restaurant. You sue the restaurant for not warning you that the tea is hot. See those things on TV? Don't try this at home. Are people foolish enough to try those things at home? They have to have a disclaimer, or else somebody's going to try it at home and sue the film company that, you know what, I wasn't warned that I'm supposed to not try this at home. Righteousness. God himself is righteous, and he gives us his righteousness through Jesus Christ. What's the opposite? Wickedness. And that's why Jesus had to nail it down. I am the truth. He's basically saying, I am the one who established the reality and facts that you see in the past, present, and in the future. I established everything, and truth does not change. In our day, whatever is true for you is true for you, right? And whatever is true for me, true for me. So you leave me alone. It does not help. Do you want to say that if you have a Samsung phone, and if on the other side you really believe it's an iPhone, it becomes an iPhone? Because it's true for you? No. Truth is absolute. Absolute, rather. God says it is so, and that's it. So what is true that God established is what is true that we need to obey, especially concerning heaven. He is the one who is taking us there. And if you want to get there, we had better listen to what he has to say. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus was under trial. Pilate was in there. The crowds were there. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this reason I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The very words that his disciples are listening to are the very words that Pilate had a chance to hear. As the Jews denied the fact that Jesus is their king, Pilate wants to confirm, all right, you say you're a king? And Jesus says, yes, I am. You have a problem with that, Pilate? That is the reason I came. That was why I was born. And I came as a king to tell you the truth that I have established from eternity past. I have come to bear witness of the truth. And if you want the truth, you had better listen to me. If you want any truth, who do we need to listen to? Jesus Christ. And in this book alone, the book of John, Jesus mentions the double emphatic, truly, truly, or verily, verily, in the old King James English, 25 times. He's basically saying, I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth 25 times. We had better be listening. Jesus, in John chapter 1, verse 17, is said to have brought grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that the law was ungracious and that the law was a lie. No. The fullness of grace is in Jesus Christ, and the fullness of truth is painted in the life of Jesus Christ, especially the truth that leads us to God. The law was given to Moses to teach us the full revelation of God's truth and grace. It's in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus was praying, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. All right? Set them apart, Father, by your truth, because your word is truth. All right? Now, when we get back to John chapter 1, verse 1, who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. So Jesus is basically praying, God, Father, sanctify them by me. I am the truth. Jesus declares that truth to us. Especially if you're wondering, how do I get to heaven? And if you're here, you want to go to heaven, I'll tell you what, everybody wants to go to heaven. They're just deceived that they can get there some other way. Jesus is the Word of God. Everything we need to know about God, about creation, is right here. He is this truth, his pocket. We had better be listening. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, Paul gives Timothy one great statement depicting the heart of God. What does God want? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires, he wants, he loves it that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of who? Of Jesus. The truth. That is the one reason Jesus came. Can you imagine? He left everything. His beauty, his glory, his crown, his majesty, and said, I am coming and all I want to tell you is the truth. Because you are constantly being deceived. Right from the Garden of Eden. Stop believing in a lie. Come to me. I am the truth. He established truth. He knows the truth. And he is the ultimate source of all truth. He is the ultimate source of everything in this world. All the realities that we see around us. He made it. He made them. And then he says, I am the life. Why would Jesus say that he's the life? He made everything. He made everything. Animals, plants, us, minerals, everything that we see. He made us breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. He made the plants do the reverse. And the word for life that the Bible uses here in the Greek is zoe, zoe. Anybody call zoe here? The other Greek word is bios, from which you get biology. All right? And that is plant and animal life. Jesus does not say, I am the author of just plant and animal life, bios. I am the author of the entirety of life, zoe. Everything. Why would Jesus say that he is life? What happened after the fall? Death. Separation from God. And why would Jesus now say that he is the life? He is going to end up on the cross to connect us to God once again, like it was before in the garden, before the fall. He is connecting us, them, to the Heavenly Father. He is giving them spiritual life. And that spiritual life is God himself getting back, reaching out to us, cleansing us of our sins, and making that connection uninterrupted once again. That is life. In fact, in another place, he defined eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ is life. And these men must have been just, their eyes, I'm sure, are growing wider. They almost have no other question to ask. Because from this point on, Jesus speaks non-stop until the end of chapter 16. Actually, until the end of chapter 17. They have no more questions. You think about the trouble that is coming ahead, just believe in me. You want to get to heaven, just come through me. You want to know the truth about anything, especially about heaven, come to me. You want spiritual life? I am the source. And honestly, what other question, if we're there, can we ask? That sums up everything that we need to know in this world. Why did we end up here? God made us. What happened? How come everything is in chaos? We sinned. Then what? God sent Son Jesus Christ to redeem us from that deception, to take back us to heaven, and before we get to heaven, to bridge that connection, that life that was dead. He brings us back to life. He is going to demonstrate that he is life by himself dying and coming out, resurrection. Now we look at these statements, and if there's anybody who challenges these statements, there's proof. There is evidence. Jesus himself, all through his life and all through scripture, demonstrates all this. So there's no way we can challenge it. We just have to accept it. If you had known me, you had known my Father. And now you know him. And I've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is sufficient for us. Just do one more thing and we'll rest our case. And he says, I have been with you for so long. You have known me. If you've seen me, you have seen my Father. If you believe in me, you're believing in the Father who sent me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus basically says, if you want to know anything about the Father, we're told God is spirit. We cannot see him physically. And God wanted to explain himself to us. You know what he did? I am going to send God to appear as a man and is going to help you understand the God you cannot see. It is Jesus Christ. And if we, just like Philip, just like Thomas, just like anybody who has questions about God, if you have any question about God, it is demonstrated through Jesus Christ. His life, and even says, his works. This is what God does. He loves enough to save. So Jesus is the full representation of the invisible God. And everything we want to know about Jesus, about God, the God that we cannot see, is displayed to us through Jesus Christ. And that's what Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18 says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist, the truth. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The resurrection is mentioned right there. That in all things he may have preeminence, prominence. Jesus is God in human flesh. A lot of people struggle with that. How can Jesus be 100% God and 100% man? It's true, right? If it was just man, how on earth was it possible for him to do all those signs, miracles, and wonders? No way. How was it possible for just a man to live a perfect life? It's not possible. And much as we have trouble just putting it in our heads that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, he just did that. He just allowed the person of the Son to come so that we get to understand him more. And that's why he says, if you are troubled, come to me. If you want to know the way to heaven, come to me. If you want to know the truth about everything, especially going to heaven, come to me. You want life? Come to me. You want to know the Father? You want to know God? Come to me. Just look at me. I pray and hope that this strengthens our belief in Jesus Christ. Our belief in the truth amidst so much deception. And there is no belief system that is more attacked by deception than Christianity. And that basically says one thing. We are the only ones who believe the truth. Everybody who believes a lie is never attacked. I mean, if you went to secondary school in our system, you are taught evolution like it is real. It's in your exams, right? And you're supposed to believe it. How about the Bible? Christianity? Oh, it's just a theory. It's just possible. Why don't people critically look at the evolution claim in the same way that they look at the Bible so critically? You ever wonder? Why don't they say, all right, just shut down, bring your book. what do you have to say? Okay, let's go book by book, all right? Let's go word by word. Let's examine evidence. Let's examine all these fossil things in history. Let's examine everything you have to say. And let's make a conclusion. Okay? I mean, evolution is still in our schools. Even when there is more evidence about creation, there's no evidence about evolution. I pray that this strengthens us to stand in the truth. And sometimes even the truth that we have, we don't want to declare. We fear. All right? You tell the truth, you're in trouble. But we have to. Because Jesus himself made the statement. Apart from affirming our belief in Jesus Christ and in the truth, apart from knowing the way to heaven, apart from knowing the source of life, Jesus says, don't let anything trouble you. Just know me. Just trust in me. I pray that we will learn daily to trust the Lord. That when all these troubles attack, when our hearts are restless, when persecution comes and crisis hit, we can peacefully rest in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us a solution to all the troubles in this world. It is simple faith in you, trust in you, rest in you. Because you are the one who is taking us to heaven, to a better place. And we so look forward to leaving this planet and living with you in perfection. Thank you so much for being the way to heaven. You did that through the cross. Thank you so much for giving us truth. Everything we need to know is in your word. You are the word. So Lord, help us stay in the truth, Lord, every day. Help us stay in you, dwell in you, and live with you every day. And by so doing, we will be protected from all the deception that attacks us. Lord, thank you so much for life. Life here and life everlasting. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who's looking for all that, that they may come to you. And if you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ, and you're looking for that way to heaven, you're looking for truth, and you're looking for life, just ask him to come into your heart, and you will receive that life. But thank you so much for revealing the Father to us, for the love that we see, for the mercy, for the goodness, for the power, Lord, for peace, for grace, oh God, that you display. But thank you so much for coming just to help us understand God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.